Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning to speak your word, your truth. Please, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Open our hearts and ears and bring revelation to our minds and spirits. I ask, Father, that you would remind us who you are today and that we would leave here knowing you in a greater measure. Amen. So I've been listening to this week to some recordings of a prayer school that I went to back in 2004, and it was led by a Ugandan pastor. And he would say amen on numerous occasions and expect us to reply with amen. So I'm just saying before I start that I might just throw some amens out there. And if I do, I expect a response. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, not necessarily like, what's his name? Angus Buchan. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you don't have to kind of go that far. Kind of be more British. So I'm continuing in the Knowing God series. We're talking this morning about knowing God. God is Almighty. We've got so many blessings in our culture, in this country. Because of this and the provision we have, just thinking of like the NHS, transport, our infrastructure, this can affect our faith and our perception of God. God tends to work in our lives in the way we perceive him. So if our expectation of God is small and limited, then that's how we'll experience him. Let me give you some examples. What if there's something we'd like to do, like go on mission to Turkey with Russ and Bibi or to Poland with Chris and Emily, but we can't afford it? Sometimes we can accept we can't do it because we don't have the money. We don't even get as far as asking God if he wants us to go. What if we have a headache? What do? We grab a paracetamol. If we're ill or our kids are ill, what do? We go to the doctors. And I have to say, this week, our Daniel's ear has been really troubling him. And I've been preparing this. So I'm like laying hands, praying, Lord. And one day it got better, didn't it? And then continually as Sunday's approach, it's got worse and worse. And today he went to the walking centre. So you know what? So what would have happened if the truck that crushed Steph had been outside this building? Yes, we'd have prayed, and we'd have prayed hard. But within seconds, we'd have also been on the phone to call an ambulance. And I'm just being honest, I'm not sure if our measure of faith is the same or would have been the same as the people who surrounded her in Mozambique. Just simply because we don't know God in every way. Either we haven't called upon him in that area, like I've mentioned, provision or healing. Or if we have and we haven't seen healings, then our faith is diminished. Now, I'm not saying we can't go to the doctors, obviously, being the walk-in this morning, or take another paracetamol. I do thank God for our NHS system. But I'm just giving now an example of how culture can change, you know, how we see God. There's so many ways we don't know him because we've not needed to. And I realise that there are occasions when we might stretch our faith in some of these areas, but I'm suggesting that it's probably the norm for most of us. The strange thing is that we can agree that God is huge, all-powerful, all-providing. We can sing the songs that say just that, but when the rubber hits the road and we have to trust God in a new way, we can fall short and fall quickly. Our image and expectation of God can just be reduced. As I mentioned at the beginning, I've been listening to some teaching from a prayer school I attended in 2004. It was on a tape. That's how long ago it was. This is a tape. So for all you at the back and you guys there, this is a tape. You may never have seen one, ever had cause to use one. This is what we used to use to record things and share things about. And if you tape the charts on a Sunday night off the radio, which I don't think we were supposed to do, but that's what we did. And if you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you'd give them a mixtape, you know, with all your songs on. It's a mixtape, you know. So this this is a tape. Just thought to clear it in case you were sitting there going, tape? Don't even know what that means. Anyway. It was a Ugandan pastor teaching, and he shared a story of his Ugandan friend who came to live in the UK. He explained that in Uganda, it's not the norm to use gas. And they'd learnt about it in theory, but they don't use it like we do in the UK. So this friend of his came over to live in the UK with his wife, and on one occasion, his wife went away for a few days, leaving the husband alone. One day, he realised he could smell a smell. He went round the house, couldn't find where it was coming from, so he ignored it.
What was the smell?
The smell was still there the next day, but to him, it was hardly noticeable. It wasn't until later on that day that a British friend went round to visit. As soon as he opened the door, the British guy panicked, shouting, "You've got a gas leak!" He's running around the house, calling the emergency numbers, opening all the windows. And the gas repairman came and said at any point there could have been a devastating fire. So this Ugandan pastor explained that it took someone from a different culture and background to come into that situation and clearly see what was happening. His friend had got used to the smell and accepted that that's the way things were, yet it could have killed him. Bibi spoke in our leaders' meeting the other day and said that God laid on her heart about the UK or Liverpool, I wasn't sure, the words faith crisis. And I believe the same principle applies. God is using someone from outside of our culture and our background to point out something that we've got used to. We've not needed to call on God the way so many people across the world do. So our vision of him is reduced, thereby our faith is reduced. God has many names attributed to him. Could you just show that names of God slide? I know we looked at this the other week, so I'm using the same slide that Rush used. Are you there? Cool. Let's see. So, a lot of us might know God as Yahweh or Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. But many of you might not know God like that. Personally, we do. What about Jehovah or Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer? Is that on the next one?
There we go.
There we go. Now, Steph knows God in this way, but not necessarily all of us. What about, I don't know if it's on this one, I think it is, Yahweh Sori, the Lord my rock. And I know there's people in this church that know God in that way. But look how many names there are. I'm pretty confident that we don't know God all of us don't know God in all of those ways. Yet this morning we're talking about knowing God. God is Almighty. As we'll see, this is a reminder of how big, how great, how powerful, and how all-encompassing God is. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, just ahead of the game there, Joy. Almighty is defined in the dictionary as both an adjective, for those who haven't been to school for a while and you forget these things, that's a describing word, and a noun, which is a name of a person, place, or thing. So we can be using God's name. You can take them off now. Thanks, Jed. We can be using God's name, the Lord Almighty, or we can be describing God as Almighty. And that is having complete power, omnipotent. So synonyms of Almighty are all-powerful, omnipotent, supreme, most high, preeminent, which is surpassing all others, invincible and unconquerable. The phrase Lord Almighty or Lord God Almighty is used way more times in the Old Testament than the New. I've done a search on BibleGateway.com. I haven't looked through the Bible like page by page, I did a little search on Bible Gateway, so I'm hoping it's accurate. It says that it appears 321 times in the Old Testament and only 12 in the New. And I think this is because in the New Testament, they had the person of Jesus and the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Having looked through these scriptures in the Old Testament and the New, I've noted that God only uses this name as a name for himself four times. Once to Abraham, once to Jacob, and once to Moses. And the final time is in Revelation. The rest of these times are people referencing God in this way. So either when prophesying declares the Lord Almighty, or reminding people who God is in that the Lord Almighty has heard the cries of his people, or in blessings, may God Almighty bless you. Most English translations of the Bible render God's name El Shaddai, as God Almighty. So I'm going to look at each of the occasions where God reveals himself as this El Shaddai. The first is to Abram. So Abram already had Ishmael, who was now 13 years old, and as we know, he wasn't the promised child of God. When God was about to make a covenant with Abram, God spoke, and the first thing he said was to clarify who he is. He does this before telling Abram the covenant he's going to make. Abram's reaction is to fall on his face. We find this at the beginning of Genesis 17, verses 1 to 2. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." At this point, God is making his covenant with Abram and also giving Abram a new name. He will become known as Abraham, father of many nations. A covenant was made between two parties and there were terms for both sides. So the fact that God's making a covenant with mankind is astounding. God's promises and terms for this particular covenant were, "I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." The terms that Abraham needed to adhere to were, "Every male among you shall be circumcised." So to me, that seems a pretty uneven set of terms. That's what it says. Although before setting out the terms of the covenant, we heard in Genesis 17, verse 1, God telling Abraham to walk before him faithfully and to be blameless, and that in itself is easier said than done. Verse 15 onwards shows us that God is promising that the covenant will be established through Isaac, who hadn't yet been conceived, not through Ishmael. God says that Isaac will be born within the year. Abraham finds this hard to believe. What I want to highlight is at verse 22. It says, "When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him." So we've got quite a bit of information there, but what we want to know is why God revealed himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. Amen? Amen. You see, if Lot or one of Abraham's household had come and said to Abraham, "Sarah's going to have a baby by this time next year," it just wouldn't hold the same weight as God of the universe, our creator, the one who spoke and the world came to be, the one who had called Abraham 25 years ago and told him to leave the land of his forefathers and go to a land God would show him. God had spoken to him many times. God had already promised to make Abraham into a great nation, to bless those who bless him, curse those who curse him. So for God to simply have spoken this new covenant, that would have been enough. But God chose at this point to reveal to Abraham that he was El Shaddai. God had to remind Abraham that he had promised him descendants. And even though between them, Abraham and Sarai, they'd managed to mess it up, God was still faithful to his promise. And I believe it is because what he was promising to Abraham is so overwhelming, so inconceivable, so hard for Abraham to understand, that God has to tell him who he is first, so Abraham can put what's being said into that context. The second time God uses this name for himself can be found in Genesis 35:11. I'll just give you a bit of background. God had asked Jacob to go back to Bethel and build an altar there. Jacob told his household to get rid of all foreign gods and to purify themselves. God speaks to Jacob and says, "You will no longer be Jacob, but will be called Israel." And again, before God announces the big plans he has, he reminds Jacob, like he did with Abraham, who he is. In Genesis 35, verses 11 to 13, it says, "And God said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you.' Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him." So there's a few things in common between these two occasions that God spoke of himself as God Almighty. One, God makes a promise that will be hard for the hearer to comprehend. Two, God gives Abraham and Jacob new names. And both scriptures say that God went up from him. That means God was present there with Abraham and again with Jacob.
Very good.
The third occasion God uses this name of himself is slightly different to the other two. In Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 to 3, it says, God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, which is Yahweh, I did not make myself fully known to them. So, I'm just going to have a drink. Yahweh is God's personal name. God's people considered this too holy to mention, so referred to God as Adonai or Elohim. Yahweh has no vowels. It's spelled Y-H-W-H. Vowels have been inserted for us to help us say it. So no one really knows what God's personal name sounds like, well, except Moses. God is referenced with this personal name from Genesis 2 onwards. But here with Moses, God actually says, by revealing himself as God Almighty, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, he has only made himself partially known. What more can there be to knowing God than knowing he is all-powerful and all-sufficient? The name Yahweh reveals God's self-existence. I am. The final time I found where God uses the name Almighty for himself can be found in Revelation 1:8, and that's the verse we had outside. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I can't really say much about this because it's quite simple. He's reminding us he's the beginning and the end, the fact that he's eternal, he's all powerful, and we need not fear. Amen. So having looked at the times God uses this name for himself, I thought we'd look at the obstacles to us here in Liverpool in 2016 to understanding and living in the revelation that God is almighty. What is our understanding of power? We often associate power with people who misuse it. When we have children and they're small babies or toddlers, we as parents have power. We have power to help them or to harm them. And regrettably, some choose to harm. When people are in authority, they can use it to help or to harm. Look at Germany. Adolf Hitler chose to harm. Angela Merkel is choosing to help in the refugee crisis. I saw a small clip on the news the other night, and I had to turn it off because I actually can't cope with people using their power or authority to hurt others. This clip was from a secure unit for young offenders and the adults who worked there. These adults could have chosen to work with these kids, to teach them, to guide them, to help them see they can change their path, but they didn't do that. They chose to physically abuse these young people, knowing these kids were powerless to do anything about it, and it makes me feel sick. But God sees it, and God sees it all. So that can be our understanding of power in a human sense. But what about God? With God, we're not talking about him having power over us as people. We're talking power. Power that created the heavens and the earth. Power that created the galaxies. Power that created every living being on earth. And many of you will remember this video that I'm going to show now, as we used it in Christmas 2014 during Behold. But I just thought, given not all of us learn and remember things just by listening, I thought it'd be an appropriate moment to use it again. And by the way, just look closely for the representation of man. It's simply a footprint in the sand, because the first time I watched it, I missed it. So.
Thank you.
Now that's the kind of power I'm talking about. God's creation is so immense. Yeah, could you just show one of those photos that I've put on the little bee hummingbird, please? Yeah, look at that bee hummingbird. I chose a bird for our Daniel. That is 5 to 6 centimetres long, weighs 1.6 to 1.9 grams. It's the smallest bird in creation. But look at the colour and look at the design. Could you show the other one, please? Look at them. Aren't they amazing? Imagine Almighty Creator being so delighted with the planets, yet equally delighted with this little bird. Yet we as human beings are the apple of his eye. We are his chosen ones. Good. When Adam and Eve made their wrong decision in the garden that affected mankind from that point on, yet God, the Almighty, chose to come down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who was born as a baby, as weak and as helpless as the rest of us, with people actively seeking to kill him not long after his birth. Jesus came and walked amongst us, teaching us and showing us. And today we have his word and his Holy Spirit. And when it came to the call on his life, his last days as a man, he surrendered his body to the will of God, knowing God was in control. For us sat in this room, God is not asking us to lay down our lives to death, not yet anyway, although it might come. But he is asking us to lay down our lives, our plans, our agendas, so he, the all-powerful one, can have more of us, to use us to further his kingdom. And when he asks us to lay something down, it hurts. It can really hurt. But only in doing it and being obedient will we walk into the plans of God that he has for us, and we'll trust him just that bit more than we did before. We'll know him just that bit more than we did before, and we'll hear him more than before, and we'll desire to please him. Amen.
Amen.
Our revelation of God as the Almighty will come as we see him for who he is, not as a shrunken down version that we've put in the box. Remember when you pray that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Are you facing the impossible today? Then God says that I want you to know who I am. He doesn't focus on the situation. He simply tells you who he is. When we don't see God as the Almighty, the All-Sufficient One, we're missing out for the things God has for us. Let us remember how immense, how powerful, how awesome our God Almighty is. Yet remember that, like that hummingbird, he holds each of us in the palm of his hand. We need to remember that if God has said he will do something, he will do it. We need to stop trying to figure out how and when and just trust him. We need to be more like David when he looked at Goliath. All David knew was his God was bigger, stronger, and more powerful than any giant. In the scriptures, we saw that God was actually with Abraham and Jacob when he uses his name, God Almighty. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, one of the three in the Godhead, the one who brooded over the waters before anything came to be. He lives in us and is never going to leave us. When we pray for God to move on our community or our city, our land, then we need to know that God Almighty is with us. No one and no thing is stronger or more powerful than him. Whatever our battles are, they are his battles. My hope for us today is that we will remember the greatness of God, our Lord God Almighty. I pray that when we go away from here, we'll have a fresh understanding that there is nothing he cannot do for us, in us, and through us. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for this time when we can be reminded of who you are. Forgive us for every time we have allowed our perception of you to shrink. Help us to see you as you are, God Almighty. Cause us to grow. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.